Welcome to another podcast in our series for the International Chamber of Commerce UK branch. This is ICC's World Business Podcast recorded in London on Tuesday, 12th June 2018. Today we're joined by Chris Southworth, Secretary General of the ICC United Kingdom, and John Carroll, Head of Products and International Business, Santander UK, and Chair of the Trade and Investment Policy Committee, ICC United Kingdom.
Much greater than for the large multinationals abroad. So, So there are three broad aspects, and I'll just briefly touch on the obstacles which are present in each of those areas, and different issues perhaps which can be potentially looked at by countries to start overcoming those. So the first is, how do they get contracts? Now, if we look at the difficulties here, you find that every single economy wants their SMEs to grow. They realise from our first question, Chris, the importance of these companies. The problem is it's very difficult to be able to steer those companies towards the right opportunities. And I can give you a couple of examples which we've seen in the UK. So India is obviously a huge country, an enormous market, which on a superficial basis can appear that we should be rushing off and selling our yogurts and selling our marmalade to India. The problem that you have with India at the moment is the opportunities are not so much there in terms of yogurt, etc., because they don't have a cold chain to be able to distribute the products across the whole country. So what India is very actively going at the moment is actually after food processing. They want to encourage domestic manufacturing via international investment. So companies and ecosystems who are supporting trade should be looking to focus on making those opportunities a reality. Similarly for China, we will look at a figure for China at the moment which is, say, 7% in terms of growth, but it really disguises quite a difference in terms of the different sectors in the economy. So some of the heavier construction areas are quite slow. You look at something like e-commerce, it's growing at 30%. So you want to be able to push the areas like baby food, maternity wear, where there's a big demand for foreign buyers. The way which you can do virtual trade missions and meet the buyers to make that more effective is crucial today. So you must try and get focused knowledge onto these opportunities and try and facilitate digitally as much as possible for the companies going out there. The second point is basically in terms of the finance, and there are common issues for all SMEs, but there is a real difference in terms of the obstacles of SMEs, both those which are in developed markets and those which are in emerging markets. So let me give you an example. I think the figures that you quoted, Chris, are really relevant because while there is an overall gap in trade finance, it's disproportionately present in emerging markets. And if we look at the case first of developed countries, ironically, you are finding that they're looking to trade more in countries like Africa or Latin America. A real problem you are having, though, is that banks, which are heavily regulated, have difficulties to take on risk in certain markets. And that's where the importance of the export credit agencies comes in. And I think one of the comments which was brought up in your report is that there is a permanent political demand for ECA to provide better service to SMEs engaged in international trade. An example which has worked quite well has been that of the UK recently in terms of the UKEF and its engagement with the private sector. Beforehand, what used to happen was the UKEF and its ECAs would be focused on the very, very large deals, the very large oil deals, which could basically really transform the nature of a country's trade balance. And all of the smaller deals would then get lost in the process. What has happened now is that there's been an agreement came in late last year where the Export Credit Agency of the UK, the UKEF, has decided to give a blanket guarantee with the banks. So rather than guarantees being issued in several weeks, that can now be done in several days, greatly enhancing the ability for these companies to transact. The problem, though, is very different in emerging markets, we've seen basically a real change in the last few years with a greater focus, as the report notes, in terms of KYC and AML in these markets. And the issue of de-risking in correspondent banking is a concern that all of us share. What is behind the regulation is very, very correct and true, but the reality is for banks it is then becoming uneconomical to be able to service a wide variety of corresponding banks in all different markets. So you are seeing now banks in developed markets only concentrating on one or two banks in emerging markets, which greatly reduces the amount of trade finance which is available in those markets. So for me, it is really one of the key issues which is currently preventing companies from trading abroad and getting trade finance in those markets. And I think, Chris, you'll ask me a second about how technology can help that, and I'll touch on that. The third point then is very much the final point in terms of the obstacles is the ability to set up. The investment, as I said before, is a logical extension of trade and enables SMEs to get real scale in markets where there's demand for them. But it's doubly complex for these SMEs because they often have to set up in parts of the country which are not the main street, which are more expensive, and they require more help, and that is a help they're not currently getting. So it really is important, as we're seeing across very private sector and public sector initiatives, to create ecosystems, whether they be banks, lawyers, accountants, to form alliances together to ensure that a holistic support is provided to these SMEs going abroad.
So I suppose that brings us on to the future. A question I get asked a lot is that, trade finance, access to trade finance isn't so much an issue for companies based in the UK. But of course, it's the company that they're trading with in emerging markets is where the problem is. Within the UK market, there's an increasing sort of variation of sources of finance, but of course, those aren't always available to companies that are being traded with overseas. Just in the last 2 weeks, we've seen the first real blockchain deal done by HSBC and partners. There's been a lot of talk about blockchain for the last 2, 3, 4 years, but there's never been a sort of a big example of it actually in motion. Lots of excitement around that. What does it actually mean for us? Is this the beginning of a flood? Are we now going to see just open gates and a lot more of this type of activity?
Chris, I hope so, because I think the need for digitalisation in trade is enormous. The report, the Banking Commission Working Group, the ICC Banking Commission Working Group, has noted that there are an estimated 4 billion pages of documents which circulate documentary trade. 4 billion pages. It's enormous. So it is one of the most paper-intensive industries anywhere in the world, so it is ripe for change. Your report, though, the ICC report, does note, however, that only 15% of respondents see transformative potential in applying technology to digitalise and increase trade finance sales. And that, Chris, I think is probably something similar to what we saw, you and I, when we had the ICC banking conference 15 months ago or 18 months ago in London. Most people do not see that digitalisation will transform the industry soon. So there are two key takeaways from that. One is there's an absolute desperate need for digitalisation. And I would probably bracket that in two broad areas. One is the ability for companies and innovation to emerge and with the ability to profit. And when there is an inefficient industry, which I think the trade finance industry in terms of being so heavily paper-based is, then I think there is a great opportunity for proprietary development to take place. And I think you'll see a greater range of things like blockchain payments between banking groups, way to which they can differentiate themselves in order to capture clients. So I'm hopeful that the first stream in terms of proprietary development, that will take place soon and will encourage competition. The reality is, though, while that will be interesting, for this to really make an impact on the whole world and the whole economic growth world, you do need that common platform. You need a common platform because you do need everyone to be trading on essentially the one platform. So the ability for the adoption of AI and data robotics to support the development of trade finance activity, particularly around supporting compliance and financial crime process related to trade finance, is enormous. The cost at the moment is so huge for banks that if we can actually greatly reduce the cost there, it will be a game changer in terms of opening up greater adoption of these issues. But it must be done whereby for at least a common trade activity, it is crucial that this is adopted not just in the developed world, but also in the emerging markets world. That will then open the way not just for the proprietary developments, which will be increasing development, but for a common platform where all banks can cooperate together to enable SMEs, whether they be the smallest or the largest in the UK, to be able to trade and interact with each other. Another crucial aspect, Chris, is the ICC's role in all of this. So you will see here there is a real need for common rules. There really is a lack of common rules around all these different platforms. The ICC is uniquely well-placed as what we call the honest broker, in that it's present in all countries and has an established role in developing rules for different types of activity to really play a key and leading leading role in the whole digitalisation of the trade finance economy?
Well, thanks for that, John. I mean, this is a big subject, so we could talk about it for a long time, but hopefully we'll talk again. Thanks very much for your input today. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Chris.
You've been listening to the World Business Podcast from ICC United Kingdom.